Hello again. Let's take your Bible, if you will, and let's turn to Psalm 147 this morning. We'll be getting back into finishing up with our series next week in progressing. But for this week, we'll take a look at a particular subject, something that has basically been on my mind this week with the events of Sunday school that were during our Sunday school hour. And so it preoccupied some of my thoughts during that time. If you were not able to be here for the Sunday school hour, I hate to tell you this, but you missed it. And I mean missed it. It was a good time and a very encouraging time, as we heard from some of the wounded warriors this morning. And poignant reminders of how messed up this world is, and how God can make sense out of some things that can't be sensical at times. And so I want to thank those that were, again, publicly for putting those things together and getting the right people at the right place at the right time, the logistics of the morning. I'm very grateful for the many folks that just pitched in there and did what they did and did it well. And so this is an amazing church. Sometimes it doesn't look like something's going to happen until it happens. And then it's just that everybody is in the right place at the right time, and it sure does make it nice when that happens. So this morning I'm going to look at something a little bit topically, and maybe you can stay with me. My mind works different sometimes than other people's does, so I pray that you'll see what I'm getting at as we go through the message this morning. Psalm 147, there are several places that this shows up in Scripture. Two of them, some of the most prominent would be here in Psalm 147, over in Isaiah 61, and Luke chapter 4 as well. We'll look at a couple of those places in here right at the outset, and then we'll get the premise, and then we'll move from there. Verse 1, Psalm 147, says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it's good to sing praises unto our God, for it's pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds." In this particular passage, there are three things that we're told that the Lord does. The first thing that we're told that He does is that He gathers outcasts. The second thing that we're told is that He heals broken hearts. And thirdly, that He binds up wounds. I want to take you over to Luke chapter 4 for just a moment, where He'll again address some of these areas. Luke chapter 4, looking verse 16, says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And He closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Jesus explains there that he's been sent to look for those who need salvation. That he's been sent to look for those that need healing, that need deliverance, and need freedom from being beat up, bruised. You see, Jesus is always out looking. He's always out here looking for the wounded. He specializes in wounded people. Always has a heart for them and is looking for them. Out and about looking for the wounded. And that's what he does. He gathers outcasts. He heals broken hearts. And he binds up wounds. In Genesis chapter 2, along about the 7th verse, God made a man. Made him out of the dirt of the ground, blew breath, the breath of life into him, and he put him in a garden, a beautiful garden. He provided him with sustenance, provided him with everything that he needed, instructed that man as to what he could and could not do. Then God brought forth a woman out of the man. Adam instructed her as to what God had said they could and couldn't do. Satan came. He deceived the woman. She disobeyed God. She turned to the man and he willfully disobeyed God. And a wound was opened up. A dreadful wound was opened that day. They were mortally wounded that day. Mortally wounded by a character by the name of Satan. A real individual. A real person. They became outcasts that day. They were stripped of their righteousness. They were beaten. They were dead in trespass and sin. But then God stepped onto the battlefield. And he went looking for the wounded. Satan wounded Adam and Eve, but God found them. And he took away those fig leaves that they had covered themselves with, and he covered them instead with his righteousness. Oh, glorious day when he covers us with his righteousness. Things rocked along. They were okay until their first child was born. The battle wasn't over. The child was wounded by sin. And that sin was going to have to be paid for. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That first child born had sin. It had to be paid for. You ever thought about how a worm gets in an apple? You have, sometimes we get the idea maybe that the worm burrows in from the outside. That's not the case. What happens is that an insect lays an egg in the apple blossom. The apple blossom becomes the fruit and encapsulates the egg. And at the right time, the egg is hatched. And the worm crawls out from the inside to the outside, eats its way out from the inside of the apple. The sin of rebellion back in the garden is eating its way out of the heart of men and women today. It was buried in there long ago and continues to eat its way out. Those first wounds of Satan are now the wounds of sin that we all have to deal with. For the wages of sin is death. We have a Savior, though, that specializes in looking for the wounded. In Luke 19 and 10, Scripture says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." And John 10:10 says, "The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus says, 'But I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly.'" I want to show you something in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, if you will. Verse 9. "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, 'Follow me,' and he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, 'Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?'" Jews hated Matthew. I mean, they hated Matthew with a purple passion. Matthew was a Jew. But he was a Jew that worked for the Roman government. He made a living taking advantage of his fellow Jews. He made a living extorting his own people, making money for the government and lining his own pockets in the process. Why would Jesus ask him to be a disciple? Knowing that it was going to hurt his own reputation, and it already had. Look right there. Why does he eat with people like that? Why does he hang around with people like that? And then verse 12 comes. "But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, 'They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. For I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" The answer is that he looks for the wounded, the sick, the bruised, the outcast, the brokenhearted. He's always ever vigilant, looking out, looking on, looking for the wounded. I thought about this week, but I thought about Jesus putting Matthew with the other 11. Putting him with the other 11 and how that would have played out and how that looked in all of that. Because there wasn't anybody, I don't think, that was on Matthew's side. I don't think that the day that he took him along with him there and made him a part of this disciple group that they all sang Kumbaya and rowed the boat ashore, I don't think that's exactly how the reception was for Matthew there. You remember one of the 12 was named Simon the Zealot. Uh-huh. You know what that means? Simon the Zealot. See, zealots were a political party. And Simon was in the political party, evidently, of the zealots. And these zealots were fanatical about opposing Roman domination. They were against anything that had to do with the government. They were devoted to the Jewish law. They were devoted to the Jewish religion. And they thought it was treason against God to pay anything to Caesar. These are the zealots that Simon was a part of or affiliated with. And now we've got Matthew in the group. Reckon there was any iciness when the two of them sat in the fellowship hall to eat? God sometimes put people who can't stand each other in the same church. Did you know that? God does that sometimes. Puts people in the same proximity with each other, and they have a hard time getting along. Wonder why he would ever do that. Wonder why he'd throw Matthew in there with Simon the Zealot. Huh? Maybe it's to show us how unchristlike we are. Huh? Maybe that's the bottom line right there, just to show us how unchristlike we really are. That he's trying to show us that there's a better way and that there's something in us that needs to go. Maybe that's the reason for it. Jesus gathers these outcasts. He gathers the wounded. And he throws us all together in order to make us better, to heal us and deliver us. Jesus chose a bunch of messed up people in the beginning. Right there at the very beginning of all this, he chose a bunch of messed up people to be his disciples. And the good folk of the day were really quick to point that out and wonder why he is running around with a bunch of losers. Huh? Thank God that he has a heart for wounded people. In John chapter 4, we see a woman of ill repute. And she's coming to a well. She's an outcast. She's had 5 husbands, and now she's living with a man, a 6th man that's not her husband. She's a fallen woman. And she needs help. And Jesus found her. He found her because he was looking for her. How do I know that? Because he said, I must needs go through Samaria. He found her because he was looking for her. He's good at finding the wounded people. He's good at finding messed up people. And he found her at that well, and he changed her life in that encounter. Abraham was old. Jacob was insecure. Leah was unattractive. Joseph was abused. Moses stuttered. Gideon was poor. Samson was codependent. Rahab was immoral. David had family problems, among other things. Elijah was suicidal. Jeremiah was depressed. Jonah was reluctant. Naomi was a widow. John the Baptist was just weird. Peter was a hothead. Martha, there was a worrier. Zacchaeus was hated. Paul was too direct. And Timothy was too timid. And Jesus went out looking for them. And he found them. And you know why? He found them because it's going to take wounded, messed up people to find other wounded, messed up people. We're all wounded and messed up. Luke chapter 14 and verse 23 says, And the Lord said unto his servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come into my house, come in, that my house may be filled. It's going to take wounded, messed up people to be about the business of going out and looking for other wounded and messed up people. To bring them to the place where they can all be healed and delivered and gathered together as outcasts in one group where the Lord can heal and make things straight. That's our job. That's the job He's given us. It's what His heart's about. His heart's about looking for wounded, messed up people, gathering them, healing them, delivering them. And He wants that embedded in our heart as well, to be about that same business. Our job is to be looking for the wounded people out there on the battlefield of this world, wounded by Satan, wounded by sin, and bring them in to the great physician who can heal them and who can bind their wounds. Then we send those people out to look for more wounded, messed up people that they might be brought in and dealt with in the same manner. The battlefield of this world is filled with wounded souls. Wounded by Satan, wounded by sin, and wounded by this society that we live in. You realize that this world will not be at peace until the Prince of Peace comes. There will be no peace. There will not be a moment's peace on this world, until the Prince of Peace comes and sits on the throne of David in Jerusalem. When we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, when we pray for the peace of Israel, that's what we're praying for. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. Even so, Lord, come. Because that's the only time that peace is ever going to come to society as a whole. Divisions are always going to be there. Cultures are going to clash. Divisions are going to be magnified. And the ones that we have that are great rifts in our country today are going to be magnified. And the pry bar of Satan is going to be inserted in there. And the lever of sin is going to be pulled. And a chasm is going to be opened up. Divisions will magnify. Conflicts will increase. I know it's an optimistic picture, but it's a true picture. And Scripture tells us that things are going to wax worse and worse. Wars are going to be fought. People are going to try to impose their will, impose their ideals on each other until the very last day. Our mission is to go out into this world and find those that are wounded by society in order that they can know that there's more to all of this than the here and now. It's not just about what we see here and now. To bring peace into hearts, when we understand in this world we're going to have tribulation and that we're to be of good cheer because Christ has overcome the world. We're to bring that message in. We as wounded individuals, messed up people, are to be looking for others wounded by our society and inserting the truth of the gospel of God. And the fact that in Him we're overcomers too, that we are not without hope in this world, that we have one to lean on, and that we can lean on the Lord. Then there are many of us that say, I don't need the crutch of religion. Good news, Jesus is out looking for you too. Because we don't realize many times that we need Him till we need Him. He looks for those that are wounded by Satan. He looks for those that are wounded by sin. He looks for those that have been wounded by society, and He looks for those that have been wounded by self as well. One of the greatest enemies of the soul is self, pride. Too proud to be humble. Too proud to humble ourselves before God. Too proud to admit that we need help. Too proud to weep. Too proud to pray. Just too proud. At the other end of the spectrum, we have people that have no worth and think that nobody cares, nobody knows. Two ends of the spectrum, too proud to come on one end, and on the other end, not worthy enough to come. Oh, how close those really are to each other. Because at the end of it, these are individuals that have been wounded by themselves from what's in them. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Bottom line is that God's in need of some messed up, wounded people who are willing to work for him. If we'll surrender to him, he'll not only use us, but he'll change us. It's no accident that we're all here today. Because the Lord's been about looking for each and every one of us. He's been looking for us. He's come to us. Come to where we were. And the reason being, very simply, we were outcasts. We were the brokenhearted. We were those that were bruised that needed to be healed. I thank God that he's always about the business of looking for wounded and messed up people. Why is he looking for us? Number one, to save us. First and foremost, to save us. And secondly, to send us. To save us and then send us out to look for other wounded, messed up people. That folks might come, be saved, and be sent again. Isn't it so simple what church is all about? When you break it down into its simplest part, it is so, so simple. We make it so difficult. It's not supposed to be that way. He never wastes an experience. Well, I'll tell you what, if you heard the testimonies on this stage earlier today, you will see that. God does not waste an experience. And when I say that, I know that there's experiences in this room that there's people up here that never went through either. We've all been through stuff. We've all been hurt. We've all been bruised. We've all been taken to places that we really didn't want to go. And while we were in those places that we didn't want to go, we learned things. Learn things about ourselves. We learn things about other people. We learn things about God. You see, that's the beauty of all of this, is that there's no new thing under this sun. There's no new thing. We're not the only one that's ever been through anything. And when we go through something, sometimes it's not entirely just for us, because the Lord knows that we're going to run into people that need what we learned, need what he showed us through what we just came through. He never wastes those experiences, and so wounded people go out and minister to wounded people. And in so ministering, we minister to the Lord, and we administer the Lord to them, you see. Which, in turn, makes a difference in someone's life, who then can go out and minister to someone else, who makes a difference in another person's life, who then goes out and ministers to someone else, and on it goes. He's always looking for those that are hurting. He's always on the lookout, which means that we always ought to be on the lookout as well. There's a hurting world around us. Hurting world. And what we've gone through and what we've been about are things that can help the world at large. Let me say it this way. We've got, had a guy up here this today that had both of his legs missing. He can minister in a way to someone that has lost both of their legs, eh? That you and I can't. But let me say this. He's going to be a little deficient in ministering to someone that's lost legs and arms. He understands a part of it, but he don't understand the whole story. in order to minister completely and entirely to that individual, it requires that we have gone through something very similar, you see. Everybody's had things go on in their life. We don't need to bury those things. Those things can be used as we minister and move forward. Because there's a lot of hurting people out there that need what you learned from your experience. You lost your mama lately? I can minister with you. We can talk about that. Your daddy, I can talk about that. I hadn't lost a brother yet. I'm not sure how that's going to feel. But somebody has. And they know how that feels. They know what that process is. I haven't lost a spouse. Some of you have. It's not the same. All these things aren't exactly the same. You have a ministry if you've gone through these things. We need to keep our ear up, keep our antenna up. For those that are out there that are hurting, that we can have an affinity for, and that we can point back to the source of our hope and the source of our help in all of these days. The Lord's looking for the wounded. He's looking for the wounded. Are you? Are you looking for them? I hope that you are. How many here are gloriously saved? You're born again, you know it. Your commission is to go look for the wounded. Not every hand in the building could go up today, though. And what that means is the Lord has been looking for you. And He's found you. And He's brought you to the place that you need to be right now. Brought you to the place where you can be, where you can understand that Jesus made a way for you. And that if you'll receive Him in the pardon and forgiveness of sin, that He'll save your soul and make you a fit vessel for the kingdom of God today. He can heal your broken heart. He can deliver you. He can bring you together with other outcasts to encourage and help you along the way. And He can minister to the bruises that you have through this body. And so I'd encourage you today, don't delay. Receive Him in the pardon and forgiveness of sin. And move forward with the rest of us wounded, messed up people as we endeavor to draw closer to the Lord that we want to draw closer to us. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the, Lord, reminders of our frailty and our humanity this morning. Thank You for reminding us that, Lord, this is all not about us. Lord, it's about You from beginning to end. Lord, help us to be aware that Lord, that You have a plan that You're working. And Lord, that that plan includes, Lord, the things that we've been through. We'd ask You to help us to see and be aware, Lord God, that we ought to be very vocal and very present and visible, Lord God, in this world around us with the message, Lord God, that You've embedded in our life. Message of hope and security. Message of peace. Message that says that this is not all there is, that there's something more to life than just going through the motions. Help us, Lord God, to be about that business. And Lord, as we're all thrown together in this hodgepodge here today, I pray, dear Lord, that You might continue to teach us and show us where we're being unchristlike in areas, unlike Your Son. Lord, that we might let those uncomfortable relationships and things that we have, Lord God, be the friction that knocks off the rough edges of us. And Lord, polishes us into something that is much more presentable. We want to be conformed to the image of your Son. Lord, help us to take instruction. Help us to take stock and inventory. Help us to look closely at who we are and what we're doing. And Father, for those that don't know you today, I ask you, dear Heavenly Father, that you would, Lord, continue to convict and draw those individuals unto yourself. Lord, I pray that you would show the lost here that they are in fact lost. And Lord, that you would present yourself as the only hope and the only way out. And Lord, that folks might grab hold of the lifeline that is you. Lord, I wouldn't bother me if today was a day for somebody. So Lord, I ask you, Father, just to keep the pressure on, for we pray that in Jesus' name and amen.